Good evening. Tonight, I have two separate themes for 2 hours of programming, as I like to do every week. The first hour, it's a focus on Louisville.
I stepped out onto the midway. I was looking for the pirate ship. To check out the tent. It seemed like I could hear music coming from inside. As I walked toward it, I passed a crowd of people at a sideshow. Couldn't figure out why they would want to wait in line. I pulled back the drape thing on the tent. There was a crystal ball on the table. Behind it, a girl wearing a hat. Smiled and asked me if I wanted my fortune read. I said okay, sat down, then I thought about it for a minute. Asked her if she'd rather go on the roller coaster instead.
Scream!
It is searching for a thread tonight. I'm your host, Dusty. And this hour, it's Louisville, late 80s, mid to late 80s, punk and indie happening there at the time. Very fertile scene, with that record being sort of the most famous outcome of the scene in that time. 1991, it's Spiderland. We heard Breadcrumb Trail. First track kicking things off on that amazing record, Spiderland. And this is Searching for Thread, as I said, here on WRFI Community Radio, 88.1 here in Ithaca, 91.9 in Watkins Glen, WRFI.org everywhere else. Mixcloud.com/searching for a thread for all the archives of this show. WRFI.org, you can access the archives. You can find my show via Spotify and iTunes if you feel like it. But anyway, Louisville. So I'm no expert on the scene. I just want to say on that music, I love a lot of this stuff. I love much of this stuff. I'm not from there or anything. I don't have a connection to it. It's just a really interesting place, and like much of the punk music that came out at that time, happened out of nowhere from a few key characters in a smaller city as is Louisville. It's kind of, you know, interesting to see one or two or three musicians really circulate through all of the bands. So I'm going to get into some of those right now. There's a great compilation I'm going to lean on for the early years here called, let's see, Bold Beginnings, right. An incomplete collection of Louisville punk 78 to 83. So this is going to have a lot of the bands that either had like a 7-inch only, maybe an LP, maybe even none of those things. They were sort of curated and called just for this collection. So I'm going to play some bands from that to start before we get to some of the, you know, the greats like Squirrel Bait. You know, later on we'll have Rodan. But first, let's talk about this band Malignant Growth real quick. But before we do, let's have a introduction by our old friend, I guess, who is like essentially like the godfather of punk these days, Ian MacKay.
When I was in Meyer Threat, we were touring in 1983, we were touring out west. And the last show we played actually was in Newport, Kentucky, just across the river from Cincinnati, and we played with Malignant Growth, and they were phenomenal. So I had some inkling that there was something happening here, and I felt an affinity with the Louisville kid. I just felt like they were, they're come from a really real place.
Sitting up high up next to the sky, waiting for a few passers-by. Nothing up here but the stars in me. Tonight this room is a place to be. Got my scope on my 30-06. Got my silence in a making hush. Got a box full of brass with long-lived tips and a feeling in my gut that's making me sick. Can I tell myself like that? Watch the scans arrive a pen. See the rest of random fight. People get the telephone.
Yeah. Two kind of divergent Louisville punk rock histories that came together. There were the East Enders, who from the South End redneck point of view were more privileged and artier. And then there was the South End, the kind of the more working class redneck part of town.
My best friend Mike at the time was playing bass with them, so I started going to their practices, and that was when I was first like getting into punk rock and stuff. And I remember being really scared but at their practices, because I'd never seen anyone play drums like Britt, because he was only 14 and he was just thrashing. And the singer would go to practices, but he wouldn't sing. He would just like, he would just sort of rock back and forth and pull his hair out and scream and stuff. And I was like, this is punk rock. I don't know if I like it.
Thank you.
So that was a few tracks from the Bold Beginnings, Louisville Punk, 78 to 83. That was Blinders, It Won't Last Long. And checking my information here, I believe that Blinders did actually release an official EP, or yes, it was an EP. Although it's also listed as an album, a 10-inch 1981 self-released. Discogs thinks it's power pop. I disagree, but I haven't heard the whole thing, so what do I know? But anyway, this is an excellent comp of highlighting some of these really early bands on this Louisville scene. Early to mid-80s happening here. Before that, it was Your Food. Now, this one I've been into over the last year or two, playing various tracks from it, and they were indeed part of this early movement in Louisville. We heard Cool Cowtown from their LP. They only had an LP, Poke It With a Stick. Drag City reissued it last year. This copy is on the Screaming Whore Dog label. Don't think there was much else released on that one. If I had to guess, I'd have to look. But before that, The End Table is another one that Drag City put back out into the world, originally from 79, an EP, incredibly rare. It's a four or five track EP. We heard The Defectors, and previous to that it was No Fun. We heard She and Malignant Growth. We heard the intro with Ian MacKay there, Killing Time, both of those from the Bold Beginnings, an incomplete 2007 collection of Louisville Punk 78 to 83, released in 2007 on the Noise Pollution label. And I should mention some of the excerpts we're hearing are from the Slint documentary Breadcrumb Trail. If you haven't seen that, seek it out. It gives you a little bit of information about what it was like going on there and sort of the members of the band that really navigated into a lot of these earlier groups and how Slint kind of came from that. So speaking of that, we got to talk about Squirrel Bait a bit. I only have the first EP. They did do a few things, but this one sort of is where it starts. It actually almost is the band in transition as it's happening. The original vocalist, David Grubbs, is on this, playing guitar only. And Peter Searcy, also vocalist, is here. Britt Walford, who is in a lot of different things. He had this early group called Languid and Flaccid with Brian McMahon, who would eventually be in Slint with him, but Walford would go on to do this, Squirrel Bait, with McMahon, that is, also, on guitar. Grubbs on guitar and vocals, and then Peter Searcy, who would finish up with the group. But this EP, Squirrel Bait, on Homestead, it's an excellent record. And before we get into one of the tracks, I do have another excerpt from the documentary with David Grubbs talking about Squirrel Bait. So we're going to get into that. Again, this is WRFI Community Radio. Searching for a Thread is this show. I am Dusty. Thanks for tuning in. And this hour, Louisville. Mid to late 80s. Next hour, Texas Psych from the 1960s. Not related, except that I love both of them. So that's the through line there. All right, let's get into Squirrel Bait in a second. And then we're going to talk about a band called Maurice in a little bit. But here's what David Grubbs had to say about Squirrel Bait.
So Squirrel Bait began with this joke that it was going to be a band called Squirrel Bait Youth, because there were all of these hardcore bands with youth in their name. And, you know, Squirrel Bait was just like dumb Louisville slang for nuts.
Nuts like crazy or nuts like testicles or what?
Oh, nuts like crazy.
Squirrel Bait, I guess they had some new songs, and then I started playing with them, and they came over and we practiced these songs and played for a while and then recorded. And I played a show with them at the Jockey Club.
David had been singing up until that time, and they had decided that he would just not do as a singer. And I practiced with them for a little while, and then they quickly decided that I would just not do as a singer, and they found Peter, and it worked out much better for them.
Six guns, you've been shot down. I know a young
All right, you're back here with Dusty on Searching for a Thread. Doing quick breaks because I want to talk about what was played. That was Skull of Glee Men from that Bold Beginnings compilation. Skull of Glee, I was having a quick look at. I think they only really existed, yes, on this comp. No official releases, so they were compiled for this Bold Beginnings comp. Strychnine with the Juvenile Like Your Mother, predating pop punk maybe. Babylon Dance Band, we heard Comes Change. All three of those tracks from that compilation, Bold Beginnings Collection of Louisville Punk. And it was Squirrel Bait with Thursday, of course, obviously I played Thursday, from the first EP, 1986, on Homestead, by Squirrel Bait. So there was this band called Maurice, which was essentially where David Pajo comes in, and I guess Britt Walford and Ryan McMahon started working with Pajo, who apparently had like just learned how to play guitar and was already sort of blowing people away. So this band features this singer, don't have his name in front of me, but here we go. Yes, Sean Garrison. They called like the Rat or something like that. But it was Pajo and Walford actually in this, with Mike Bukayu on bass. And they made this demo and they started playing around. It really featured Pajo just shredding, for lack of a better word. But they never released anything, but did record a demo for Glenn Danzig. So interestingly enough, they got noticed by Danzig because he was buddies with, I believe it was Walford, and they actually just opened up for them in 85 with Sam Hain. Opened up for Maurice, this band opened up for Sam Hain on a tour in 85, interestingly enough. And this is basically the band that would morph into Slint as they started venturing outside of the pseudo-metal that they were doing into sort of more nuance, I guess we'll call it. So we're going to get into that. I'm going to play something from this demo, which you can find on Pajo's Bandcamp. It doesn't exist anywhere else. David Pajo's Bandcamp, you can see that there. And we're going to get an intro to it from this Breadcrumb Trail documentary right now.
I mean, they're one of the great lost bands, you know, certainly of Louisville, if not the country.
My mother drove Britt and Brian and Sean and myself to Bloomington to see Sam Hain play on their first tour. We hung out with Glenn for a while afterwards, pestering him with questions. And Rat did most of the pestering. And they really struck up a friendship that night that continued for a decade. It was that friendship that led Glenn Danzig to invite Maurice to open for them on tour. We'll be right back.
All right, yes, that is June of 44. I had to jump around a little bit to get everything in an hour, but we skipped up to that great group from their 96 LP, Tropics and Meridians. That was June Leaf. And, of course, that band had some key... Well, came from out of the ashes of Rodan when they broke up in 95. Jeff Mueller went on to form that band while you had Tara Jane O'Neill do the Sonorapine, Kevin Coltis and Noble, Jason Noble, that is, Rachel's. And later on, Mueller and Noble would do the Shipping News, which I didn't get to. I have one more track to play, but before June of 44 was Slint from their first album. We heard Carol, Tweeze, the album, 93 on Touch and Go. I like that, what it actually says. It says right on the back. And we talk about it in the documentary. It's all basically the band members' parents are all the song names. So that's nice. Very nice. And Rodan, we heard Shiner from Rusty, 94 on Quarter Stick. Yeah, that Maurice... It's definitely on the metal side of things, but interesting that that demo and their sort of Sam Hain and Glenn Danzig relationship and shows sort of that there was some attention, there was some sort of interest in Louisville and some of the people that were paying attention, and that led into Slint. So there's a lot more we can go here in the Louisville arena, and we have to mention Will Oldham, who, of course, doing Palace Music, Palace Brothers, Bonnie Prince Billy. He was around for all this stuff, too. He was just sort of getting going and learning how to play. Apparently, they wanted him as a vocalist or to be involved in Slint, but he ended up just taking the photograph that's on the cover of Spiderland and was obviously friends. So let's play something from the Palace Music compilation of the early singles. I think this is actually from the first single that he put out as Palace Music. Stick around here on WRFI Watkins Glen Ithaca for the next hour.
When it's time from work to go, and in my boat I row across the muddy Ohio. When the evening light is falling and I look towards Floyd's Knobs, where the after glories glow, and I there from Smoketown.